evening and welcome back to another week of the Alaska Identity Project. My name is Adrienne Lopez, broadcasting here on KTOO News Juneau, 104.3 in Alaska's capital city. Thanks for tuning in to another week. This is always fun to be bringing you the most interesting guests who are making an impact across the state of Alaska right here from Juneau. In the spirit of the KTOO Pledge Drive this week, it's been going on since Monday and it'll go through tomorrow, the show guests on the Alaska Identity Project tonight will all focus on the topic of giving and contributing to the community, this whole idea of philanthropy. In the first half hour, I'll be interviewing Kirby Day, Shore Operations Director of Shore Operations for Princess Cruises, Pacific Northwest, and Alaska, as well as Bob James, owner of Gastineau Guiding. In the second half hour, I'll have two phone interviews, with one with Mike Walsh, who's the Vice President of Operations for the 4-Acre Group, and Cassandra Stalzer, who's Communications Manager for the Rasmussen Foundation. Remember, if you're listening out there, you can contact the Alaska Identity Project on Facebook. You can like it there and find out about the weekly guests. You can go and follow the show on Twitter at Alaska ID Project, or go to my blog, adriennechile.blogspot.com, and see the recordings every week there of the guests. Remember, if you're out there and want to donate to KTOO, you can pledge, you can call up. There's people listening or taking your calls here at 586-3636. You can also go online and do a donation there. Or there's a 1-800 number, which is 1-800-478-3636. So remember to give back that way if you are a beneficiary of public radio, which does a lot for our community and the state and the country. In the spirit of giving, I chose a couple quotes just to start us off for the show. I normally don't do this, but I thought that it was an interesting topic tonight that everybody's talking about one thing, and basically philanthropy and giving back. Jeff Skoll said that philanthropy is all about making a positive difference in the world by devoting your resources and your time to causes you believe in. In my case, I like to support causes where a lot of good comes from a little bit of good, or in other words, where the positive social returns vastly exceed the amount of time and money invested. Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one. And Martin Luther King Jr. said, philanthropy is commendable, but it must not cause the philanthropist to overlook the circumstances of economic injustice which make philanthropy necessary. So a few quotes to reflect on as we get started here. Kirby Day is the Director of Shore Operations for Princess Cruises and the Pacific Northwest, for the Pacific Northwest and Alaska. In his current position, Mr. Day oversees shore excursion management and development, as well as port and security operations for the Alaska region, including Vancouver, Seattle, and Victoria. Before joining Princess Cruises in 91, Mr. Day worked for Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska, American Hawaii Cruises in Tahiti, and the Director of Land and Port Operations for World's Explorer Cruises, is that right?
Correct.
Kirby? Yeah, okay. You've been all around the world. So.
I have. ended up in Juneau 25 years ago, and I'm still here, and I love it.
Good. I'm glad you are and contributing to our community here. And the second guest with you, your sidekick, or Bob's sidekick, is Kirby. Bob James is owner of Gastineau Guiding Company with his wife, Dawn. You guys have had that company for 18 years. You've been very involved in tourism issues in Juneau since you founded Gastineau Guiding, such as being a member on the former Tourism Advisory Committee, helping develop tourism management best practices. You're on the board of directors for the Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau, co-founder of Mount Roberts Steward Program. You went to Chile with some of the economic development work down there in 2010. Cruise with a Purpose in Holland America, which I hope we'll talk about that later. So you both have really contributed, and that's what we're kind of going to talk about tonight. So I don't know which one wants to start.
Well, great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
This is great. And you look outside, and it's
summer.
Beautiful. It's sunny. It's spring is coming, and first thing that comes to mind is 586-3636. So there you go. But no, it's a great evening. It's a great time of year, and it does make you thankful that you live in a community like Juneau, and that we have so many great opportunities. I'm looking out the window here and seeing the Jack out the window, and the great things they do, and the great thing this radio station and all the stations here in the building do. And so it gives you an opportunity to think about how lucky we are and take that opportunity to give back to the community in a whole lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Bob, you're jumping in there.
I'm moving anyway.
Okay, you're moving around.
Thanks for having us, Adrienne. And it is a great business to be in, the tourism business in Juneau. You know, we've seen so much change in the last 18 years that I've been involved, and changes down the line coming. I think that you know, we've done our best and as an industry in this community to give back, since that's the sort of the spirit of the show tonight, and maybe we can share a few things about how we do that. But I can feel the buzz in the air, as I think most people can in the community right now, as the whole town gears up for the upcoming season. You know, we get college students now coming back, or at least contacting us. Hiring is happening full swing. Hundreds and hundreds of young people are securing summer jobs now. Everywhere I go, I hear that. So it's really kind of neat to be in a community where the seasons change and our really what we do changes. You know, we go to the summer and the height of the tourism season, and then we quiet down in the fall, and then we have the legislature come in, and now we're into the full swing of hiring and training another group of people, most of them local kids or local teachers, people that just want to do something different in the summer, and I just feel that spirit in the air, and it's a great time for the spring fun drive. I'm going to make one little pitch for our friends in the tourism industry. I know they're all broke now because nothing has been coming in for several months.
Oh, no.
But I say dig in deep and find a way to help contribute to this great radio station and resource we have here in Juneau, because it gives us a lot back. And I never go through a day without realizing how empty my day would be without KTOO and the other two stations on the air sharing that wealth of not only international and national, but the spirit of the world with us as a small little community here in the middle of an incredible wilderness area.
Oh, pull the community together.
Yeah.
You know, and the springtime, as Bob said, is you kind of know it's spring because you got the pledge drive and you got the folk festival, and everybody's running trying to get ready for summer, and things are getting cleaned up. So it's a great, my favorite time of year here. Really.
Yeah.
It's everything is waking up and it feels good.
Well, you got, I wouldn't have been able to get you on the show in the next couple of weeks, right? Because it just gets full on busy for both of you.
It's
right?
Full on. Yeah, it is full on. But it's worth it coming down here and sharing some of what we do with the community, because foremost, our job, I think, as local businesses and as local operators here in Juneau, is to make sure that the community is tuned into what we do, and we're tuned into what the community wants and needs, and that's the best we can do is listen and share our what we do with the community.
Well, and I think you give, as you said, Adrian, you give back in a lot of ways. Monetarily, through the way you conduct your business, through the way the community sees you as a business or as an individual. And I think that, you know, tourism has progressed mightily over the last 20 years when back in the early 90s, the industry was growing very quickly and the city hadn't really caught up to what was happening, and the industry hadn't caught up to what was happening and dealing with impacts and things. So I think, you know, one of the ways that the industry is working to give back in some way, shape, or form to the community is try to, over the last 15 years, put together a program that tries to control and address the negative impacts in the community, so that, you know, it is great for everyone to live here in the summertime, and yeah, it's busy and it's crowded and there's a lot going on, but boy, there's a lot of revenue coming into this town that ultimately then goes to plow our roads and goes to pay teachers and goes to do a whole lot of different things in the wintertime that, you know, quite honestly, we wouldn't be as fortunate. It goes into people's pockets that end up contributing to K2
and
Pledge Drive. And so, you know, I think one of the ways we've really worked hard is to try to deal with the negative impacts in town and try to make it a more livable, neighborhood-friendly type of place in the summer, even when it's crowded.
Yeah.
And I think we've had a lot of success,
with that?
I think.
Over the years, you've noticed that Junoites have kind of turned
I think they understand that it isn't just a bunch of outside companies coming in to take the money away and not really care about what, because all of us live here.
Yeah.
And the majority of the people that work in this industry, while my company is based outside of Juneau, I've been here 25 years. And so I think most people now realize that we are making an attempt to deal with those situations. And And whether you're a local company or a company from outside that, who has local managers here, I think most people realize that, yeah, in general, tourism is a good thing. People are working hard to deal with impacts in the community and make it a good thing for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it provides a lot of benefits in town. So, mm-hmm. you know, that being said, there's always more work to do, and we're continuing to work at it real hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Kirby was alluding to the Tourism Best Management Practices program there that has been going, what, for 16
years
starting now. You know, back before that started, there was a lot of, discontent in the community about how things were being managed. The city was looking at going into Title 49 and basically, I bet you forgot that.
No, I didn't forget.
Title 49 to really start to regulate how businesses could operate in the community and where they could operate. Title 49 has to do with land use. And it turns out that it was a hugely complex issue. And that's about the time that we in the industry realized that if we didn't want to be policed to death, we would need to find out a way to take care of our own issues and problems and solve them. And we founded Tourism Best Management Practices. It grew year after year. More and more operators have signed on. I think they're like 70.
Wow. 90 last year.
90 operators.
1,700 employees.
And back before Tourism Best Management Practices came into being, buses would travel through neighborhoods. People would get out on sidewalks in residential areas. There was really no way to keep things in order.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that that's not how you run a sustainable tourism or any kind of industry. So we took it on ourselves, many, many public meetings. We put a big, extensive program together. We reevaluate it every year. We add to it. We adjust it depending on, depending on how things have changed. And so every year it's a very dynamic program. Every year it changes. We have public meetings and we're able to respond to issues that we've heard about.
Up,
and
we
just had a meeting about 3 weeks ago and have made some tweaks in it this year to respond with new issues that we have heard about through the public. So it's been a great program for Juneau and a great program for the industry. And I think probably is one of the key things that has made tourism work in Juneau, especially in Juneau where we get 1 million visitors every summer in five short months.
Right.
It's unlike many areas that spread out throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Our season is short and very dynamic, and we really have to be on our game in order to keep it going. And there'll be more issues coming up. There always are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the spirit of TPMP and all the operators that belong to it is that we are there to make the adjustments necessary to be good partners in the community.
Well, and you said sustainable. I mean, you know, we wouldn't be able to sustain the business that we have and the community ourselves. We wouldn't be able to continue to promote tourism here if we didn't act responsibly. And I think the community has come a long way, but I think that the industry has come a long way as well, realizing that. Most people don't understand that when we sit around and work on schedules every year, we look at a cruise ship schedule and move ships around so that we don't end up with four ships every single day here or five ships every day.
To lessen the impact,
exactly, because we know that the infrastructure can't keep up. So, again, another way that hopefully people understand that we're not just coming in and taking the cream off the top, that we want, we live here, we're part of the community, and we ourselves want to realize the benefits of tourism and the benefits that managing tourism relates as well.
Yeah, definitely. Was it hard in the beginning to get all these people on board? I mean, 90 is a lot, and to see this kind of vision of a win-win for the business and society.
It was
challenging.
Yeah. But we've
90 companies and 1,700 employees signed that document saying they're going to adhere to the policies of that document. And we as operators have to ensure that they do adhere to it, and we put ourselves out on the line, we need to deal with any calls that come in that breach that agreement. So it's a very tidy process, really, and it works well, and we've really cut down a lot. But I think the big thing to remember is that things are always changing. You just can't anticipate how things are going to evolve, and mm-hmm. we need to be on our game and keep that program alive and strong year after year. And Kirby's done a masterful job of working that program every year and keeping it going so that it does change with the times.
Yeah. Well, and I think we have to count on the community to tell us too, and to be sure and let us know if things aren't going well and if there's continually things that we need to improve on, because that's how we're gonna continue to make it a win-win for everyone.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
You know, one way that I think that in the industry and tourism, local companies have tried to give back to the community in maybe a non-monetary fashion, but I think it works.
Yeah, definitely. Now, if you're just tuning in out there, this is the Alaska Identity Project. I'm talking with Bob Janes, owner of Gastineau Guiding, and Kirby Day, director of Shore Operations for Princess Cruises. You know, I ran into Torwallen the other day. He's back in town. He's been down in L.A. And he told me, he raved
living
about...
Living the good life.
Yeah, he's having a good life. He's going to Boston soon. But he just said how wonderful it is to have a tourism industry in Juneau and how it gives young people who might not have positions elsewhere or might not be able to get to a position like this elsewhere outside of Alaska, but because it's a small community and you're interacting with people like you guys who are at a higher level, you're able to invest in those young people and give them these career opportunities that changes their life.
Absolutely.
As a way to contribute, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's another way that I think the industry gives back, whether, you know, because there's a lot of kids that come back from college that get to come home, get to stay at home with their families, get a job during the summer, make some money for school, and that's because there is a very prominent tourism industry in town, whether it's cruise industry passengers or whether it's just visitors that are coming in mm-hmm. independently. And there's a lot of – I've been down south quite a bit over the last 3 or 4 months in Southern California, and this economy in Juneau is thriving compared to what's going on down there. There are people that cannot find work, and I don't know that – I mean, there are still jobs to be had up here in the summertime. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people looking for good workers. And the other thing people don't realize is I think that many, many – businesses in this town are either run by, in some cases owned by, and in many, many cases managed by local kids who maybe aren't kids anymore, but they grew up here working in the tourism industry 20 years ago, and now they have a very prominent position in a company. Mm-hmm. And you know, too many times people think, well, it's just a seasonal job and there really isn't anything. Well, there's nothing wrong with a seasonal job, first of all, because it's earning money for kids that are in school or whatever else, or teachers that needed or would like a second income and would like to do something like
retired
that in the summertime.
Retired people that are
retired folks
wanting to do something,
something
with the visitors.
Fun. Something fun. And but also that there is a future beyond a seasonal job for a lot of these people that come to work for us and from a lot of different companies around the community. So, you know, I mean, we're excited about that. We'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Don and I have been talking about having a 20th anniversary get together for Gastineau Guiding, and we just began going back through the people that have worked for us and with us over the past 18 years in preparation for that, and we astoundingly came up with a list of about 500 young people that are now off in careers and doing things that have worked for us in during the summer 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And then the local people that have seasonal work here work at Eagle Crest or do other things in the winter, as well as the many retired people that have worked for us and also that are local, as well as many teachers and educators that are working part-time. So we got a little bit overwhelmed when we realized we were going to be planning a party for 500 people in 2 years. And
you live in my neighborhood. Don't make it loud, please.
We thought about having a dinner for everybody and really making a fun event, but we're going to have to We're going to have to find a big place to do it.
Well, not everybody's going to come. 500. Even if you get 300.
Yeah. Well, if half of them come, we still have 250 people. So we may do it at your house.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think, as you were saying, that you know, with that many people that have come through your company, but also tourism in general, and it's not just tourism either. I mean, it's a lot of opportunities, restaurants, hotels, a lot of different jobs in town that maybe aren't directly tourism related, give people an opportunity to have that job and mm-hmm. to learn job skills and to learn customer service skills. And I think that always gives back to a community. When you can have your kids come home and work and have a good job in the summertime and see their friends and live at home, I think that, you know, is intrinsic to giving back in some way, shape, or form, too. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the tourism industry that does that. AML, a lot of the brewery, a lot of different companies hire people in the summertime to work because it's busy and there's a lot of opportunity for people. So, you know, I think everybody does it, not just our industry.
Yeah, definitely. Now, in the few minutes we have left, I want to get a couple examples. I know, Bob, you've done some work with something called Cruise with a Purpose, or you started this kind of amazing new project that's with Holland America. Can you just give us a little information on
I can
what this
briefly summarize it. Yeah, 3 years ago, I've always, as our company evolved through the years, we noticed that we were doing more and more science in our tours, just because that's how you interpret through science, you know. And so we decided to we conceived a tour called the Citizen Science Adventure, where we actually it's a tour. It's a commercial product that's sold on board the ships, but the people that buy it know that they're going to be going out and gathering data for the different agencies and organizations that we have partnered with. So we've partnered with, the Marine Advisory Program. They do a lot of different work with their science operations throughout Alaska, University of Alaska. We've partnered with them. Marine Advisory Program also. There are a couple others.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll leave it at that. But we use their protocols and work with their scientists to gather information. For example, we're working with the University of Alaska Fairbanks on gathering whale identification photos and behaviors and boats within the area. And we use their protocols and we submit this information on a regular basis throughout the summer. And this data goes into their databases so that they're able to use us and the contribution of the guests that come out on our tours to help them build reliable databases with information that they wouldn't be able to afford to go out and get on their own. They just don't have the manpower to go out and get this. But we're out there every day. We also are working with Project Budburst and looking at some of the changes out near the Menihal Glacier area, climate changes and how it affects plant growth and the different phases of plant growth. So we're also working with the Marine Conservation Alliance. We do some trash
debris
pickup on local beaches and provide them with the data, with what we found. They put it into their database so that they're beginning to build a record of kind of what's coming in and what areas are more likely to have buildup that might be dangerous to different species. And and interestingly enough, they've asked us to up our game a little bit because of the tsunami and some of the debris that's going to be coming in. Anticipated to be coming in, mostly on the outer coast, but it works its way in to the sheltered bays as well. So that's another project. Anyway, our clients get to go out on board and spend 5 hours becoming scientists. And it's been particularly successful with the Disney cruise line because it's a family-oriented tour. And we get lots of families with kids that go on and that Citizen Science Adventure sells out with Disney every week because the families with young people come on and it's a great family tour. It's a great family experience because the kids get to be involved in basically getting a feel for what field science is all about and being part of gathering the data, being part of recording it, and then being able to go back onto our website and connect with the agencies and organizations that we have partnered with and see the data as it's building over the years. So
and people just have a really good feeling about doing that.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And I really think that the Holland America Cruise with Purpose program and our citizen science program is just the tip of the iceberg on what can happen out there in many communities, both cruise ship destinations as well as land destinations. Because I know I've traveled a lot and you have too, and there's nothing more satisfying in traveling than getting to know the locals and getting to know how they live. And one of the best ways to do that is getting involved in some of the things they do.
Yeah.
And so if you can get involved in a program, volunteerism program, or a program that may have other implications that connect you with a community or with a people, you've gotten the best out of your travels. One of the things we're talking about now with one of the cruise lines is a volunteer program for their crew. Who comes in every week, and we may partner with one of the local organizations here to help maintain our local trails. So there may be a dozen crew people that want to get off the ship through this organized program every week and go out and under the direction of a local organization, put in some hours and get some community time in.
That's awesome.
And as well as accomplishing something over the whole summer that we wouldn't be able to afford to do.
Yeah.
And the crew love to do that. I mean, they absolutely love to do those types of things. When I was working in French Polynesia, there was a small island that we went to in an atoll called Rangiroa, and there was a small school there that really didn't have much. I mean, it's about 900 people on the whole atoll, and our crew off the ship, got money together and got things together that they didn't need anymore, clothes, little stereos and things like that, things that the kids could use, books and writing things and color books and things out of the shops. And one day we went in with a full, because it's an anchor port, went in with a full tender of crew members to the school and brought all this stuff to the kids, and it was just really heartwarming for them. And the crew came up with the idea. And so, as Bob said, I think the crew love to do things like that. So I think it'll be very successful.
Yeah, for sure. Because they probably don't want to spend money on tours, but yet they still want to see the local community.
To get out and breathe some air and get off the ship is a big thing. And
very big.
I know we have crew that come off your ships and probably others that play soccer with some of our local soccer teams.
Exactly,
last year I watched a couple of soccer games where our local players get together with some of the stars on board your ships, and there are some stars
and
play out there. Well, that's not volunteering, but it's actually connecting with
the
community.
And
it's a weekly thing. I know it was happening every week last summer. So those things happen all around us in all kinds of businesses that we don't always see, that we see the facade of businesses, but I really think you start looking deeper. It's an amazing, the cruise line industry, although it has issues and things we have to deal with, there's a lot that comes back to the community, especially here in Juneau, where Kirby's been able to, and the local operators still are connected enough to understand how important it is to keep it holistic.
Yeah.
Well, I think, as you said, some of those things that happen that we don't hardly ever know about creates community in Juneau that we don't. I mean, the people that those guys touch have a different vision of what happened and their experience. So, I mean, it's kind of a neat thing to sit back and kind of watch happen
and shape it too. And I want to thank you guys for shaping that industry, and you're also transforming it with programs through Couriers Cruise with a Purpose. Best of luck this summer. Bob James is owner of Gastineau Guiding, Kirby Day, Director of Shore Operations for Princess Cruises here in Juneau and around Southeast and the Pacific Northwest. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Have you back. We didn't get all the questions.
No, that's all right. It's fun. And
good
what
time.
What was that? 586-3636?
We should leave it.
1-800-178-3636. Everybody's heard it.
That's 4
many times.
Bob.
Oh, 478-3636. I told you I forgot my glasses.
478-3636.
I know there's still a little money left in some of our our company's coffers just enough to help along a bit. So
help K2.
Help K2 if you can. We really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you guys again.
Thank you.
We're
going to
leave you. I'm going to leave you in this first break with Meg Mackey. She's a local musician out of Anchorage. She just launched her CD, Eat Your Heart Out. So Meg Mackey. And stay tuned in the next half hour. I'll have representatives from the Rasmussen Foundation and the 4-Acre Group.
Hi.
Welcome back. This is Adrienne Lopez here on the Alaska Identity Project. Thanks for staying tuned in this show. The first half hour, we were chatting there with Bob Janes, owner of Gastineau Guiding Company, and Kirby Day, director of shore operations for Princess Cruises. In this next half hour, we'll be speaking with Mike Walsh, who is the vice president of operations for the 4-Acre Group, as well as Cassandra Stasler, who's communications manager for the Rasmussen Foundation. She's, both of these are out of Anchorage, so we'll be getting them on the phone and speaking with them. I also just want to highlight Meg Mackey. She just released a new CD called Eat Your Heart Out. She's a local Junoite that's now been making the scene and hitting the scene or making the rounds up in Anchorage with the Alaska music scene and really doing a great job. I saw her up at Alyeska a few weeks ago, and she did a great job. So she's going to have her CDs available at the Rookery and places right around Juneau. And for those who aren't aware, KTOO is actually doing a pledge drive this week. It started on Monday. I'm sure you've heard the numbers and been. I need to read the intro. Sorry. And been involved in K2's pledge drive. If you haven't pledged, just want to remind everyone that you can still get involved. You can call 586-3636 if you're in Juneau, 1-800-478-3636 if you're outside of Juneau, or go on and pledge at ktoo.org. It's important to give. And that's the whole point of the Alaska Identity Project tonight, is talking to people who make an impact through charitable giving and contributions and philanthropy. And that's why I have Mike Walsh, who's on the line. He's the Vice President of Operations for the 4-Acre Group. He's lived in Alaska for 30 years, most of the time in Fairbanks. He holds a PhD in Public Policy and Public Administration from Purdue University, an MA in Public Administration from the University of North Texas, and a BA from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Mike served in the administration of Governor Tony Knowles as Deputy Director for the Governor's Fairbanks Office. He's worked extensively with local nonprofit boards and agencies on a wide range of policy and management issues. Mike, are you there?
I am here, Adrienne.
Great. We lost you there, but you're back. So, Mike, thanks for, first of all, coming on the Alaska Identity Project. Tonight we're trying to highlight people and groups that really have an impact in philanthropy, and I understand the 4-Acre Group does something with nonprofits. Can you give us some background on your organization?
Sure. That's a really great statement. We do something with nonprofits.
That wasn't very clear.
Yeah. Well, we're a nonprofit organization ourselves. We're a 501c3, like many of the nonprofits that we work with across the state. But we're called a management support organization, and our job is pretty simple. It's to strengthen the Alaska nonprofit sector by strengthening the nonprofits that work in it. And we really do that in four ways. One is education and training. So we provide community trainings all over the state, from everything from what it means to be a board member all the way up to some pretty complicated stuff, you know, about fundraising or building philanthropy, like you're talking about this evening.
Mm-hmm.
We also do organizational consulting. It's really our one-on-one work with agencies in virtually every corner of the state. And we have shared financial services or shared professional services. And I like to refer to that as we hire really smart, expensive people so our nonprofits don't have to.
Nice.
But it's people who are really great at finances or human resources or information technology. Those are you know, bringing in that kind of talent in a little nonprofit is often overwhelming because it's really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently we've become the state's nonprofit association. So it's all about speaking on behalf of the sector to really improve Alaska's nonprofit sector. And, you know, we're pretty convinced that leads to better communities.
Yeah, of course. Now, do you find that there's a lot of kind of socially irresponsible nonprofits or groups that kind of aren't accountable in some ways? And that's kind of what you help them with, right?
Well, I'm going to answer your question by not answering it.
Okay.
I'm going to say, you know, there really aren't any irresponsible nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
People are in the sector because they want to make a difference, and it's making a difference in a lot of different ways. You know, they may be things that I don't necessarily agree with or you don't necessarily agree with, but it's the idea of providing some good or some greater good for the community. So, you know, the the continuum from really high-performing nonprofits to nonprofits that are struggling and need a lot of help. It's a pretty wide continuum, mm-hmm. But we help people on really on all phases of the continuum because, you know, the thing that we talk about most and the thing that's really important to us is the idea of sustainability. And, you know, this whole conversation about philanthropy and building philanthropy in Alaska, it's about enhancing opportunities for nonprofit sustainability. So, you know, we're working with people, like I said, on that entire continuum because sustainability really isn't an end point. It's not a destination. It's really a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So organizations are in lots of different places when it comes to sustainability.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I was reading on your website today. I saw just a quick headline that talked about the number of nonprofits dropping sharply last year. Was this a trend that happened in Alaska as well?
Well, yes and no. We're overall seeing a growth in the sector, and that's in Alaska as well, where we have 7,000 nonprofits operating here. Yeah, it's huge. I mean, per capita, it's you know one of the most densely populated nonprofit sectors in the country. We did see a drop-off in some parts of, actually, across the country when the IRS sort of stepped up its accountability and took a lot of the federally recognized nonprofits off the rolls because they hadn't been reporting. We saw some of that here in Alaska. But apart from that, we have seen a growth, which is something that we're, you know, we're looking at very strategically because it's a kind of growth that's not very sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Because of funds, right?
Well, it's a lot of different reasons. It's the changing funding environment at the federal level. It's the, you know, what we call a leadership void, and that's leadership on the part of boards. It's just hard to attract good boards when there are so many different organizations. You know, we have people in the state who are serving on 3, 4, 5, and even more nonprofit boards. The executive leadership void, it's hard to fill some of those executive leadership positions, you know, like a executive director or CEO, chief financial officer, human resources. But we're also dealing with what our CEO, Dennis McMillan, has termed the crash of the herd. I mean, the idea that there are not enough resources really to support and sustain all of the nonprofits that we have in the state. And, you know, this is a trend that we're seeing across the country as well.
Mm. Wow, crash of the herd.
Crash of the herd. So, you know, we're talking, and, you know, if you think about it, just in your own neighborhoods, in your own communities, you know, when one of those years when you see a lot of rabbits, well, you tend to see a lot of foxes. But when the number of rabbits goes down, the foxes go down because they just don't have the resources to support that population. So that herd, you know, in effect, crashes. And, you know, that we're talking a lot about the importance of thinking differently about how nonprofits are structured. So, you know, we're using the terminology around strategic restructuring. That it means that there's going to be greater partnership required, greater collaboration, and sometimes, you know, all the way to mergers and you know, full-blown mergers.
You usually use those terms for the industry or companies, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, Mike, we don't have a whole lot of time because I'm actually going to have one more guest on, but I would like to get your thoughts just as someone in the 4-Acre Group is in the nonprofit sector that looks to communities and to people to be very active citizens. What are your thoughts on the importance of being active citizens and contributing to whatever community you live in?
Well, simple answer is more is better.
Okay.
You know, really, community giving takes a lot of forms. Some of it's financial, some of it's, you know, working in government or, you know, volunteering to be on a city council. A lot of it's working with nonprofits in many different capacities. But, you know, we really see that kind of giving as the key to not only a strong nonprofit sector, but a strong community. And when we can really build stronger communities in Alaska, this is just a better place to live. Mm-hmm. So we would be loud advocates of building involvement in the sector, whether it's at the board level or at a giving level, because it's the core. It's the, part of the core of our community. So being a good citizen, I think, is reflected in the health of the nonprofit sector, which in turn comes from the people who live in those communities. So it's very comprehensive.
Very well said. Well, thank you. If listeners want more information about the 4-Acre Group, can you give your website real quick?
Absolutely. It's www.4acregroup.org, and that's foracergroup.org. And we'd be thrilled to be able to talk to folks about whatever. And thank you for putting this show on to highlight the importance of being involved in communities and the sector. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you so much, Mike Walsh, who is Vice President of Operations for the 4-Acre Group. Thanks again.
Great.
Mike.
Thanks, Adrian.
We'll be back in the next few minutes. We're going to take a quick break here on the Alaska Identity Project and be back with Cassandra Stelzer from Rasmussen Foundation.
Writing rhythms on the wall, taking chances I might fall, finally losing all my nerve, it's taking all of me, I'm sure. I've never heard, hear a voice of that I'm sure, never mentioned it before, but I'm better off near you, alone, oh, because you're you, because you're you.
Back to the Alaska Identity Project. This is Adrian Lopez here on KTOO News in Juneau, 104.3 in Alaska's capital city. Thanks to all the guests who have come on tonight in the spirit of the KTOO Pledge Drive and talking about the importance of contributing to your community and philanthropy and really giving back. We just were talking with Mike Walsh, who's Vice President of Operations for the 4-Acre Group. And up next, in the next 10, 15, 12 minutes, we're going to be talking to Cassandra Stelzer, who's Communications Manager for the Rasmussen Foundation. For nearly 20 years, Cassandra has worked in the nexus of strategic communications, community building, and progressive change. She has taken on positions to help advance public policy debates in the South, increase minority voices in national media, document and share two unique American cultures, and help a federal agency become more responsive to its constituents. Stelzer has a Bachelor of Science degree in journalism from West Virginia University, minors in English and political science, and has completed extensive study on animal science. Her work in communications has been recognized by the Alaska Chapter of Public Relations Society of America, U.S. Department of Agriculture, Alaska Broadcasters Association, among many others. Cassandra, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah,
and go Mountaineers.
Okay. Are they competing tonight in some sport?
Oh, I don't think so. I was just surprised. I didn't know you were going to read the whole bio.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Well, good.
You know, when you're here
at
West Virginia University, you have to respond with Go Mountaineers.
Of course. Great. Well, I'd love to just highlight a little bit about the Rasmussen Foundation. You know, as much as I think everybody knows what it is, it's important for the listeners who have never heard of it to highlight about its role and impact in Alaska.
Okay. Well, the Rasmussen Foundation is a private foundation. We are what many refer to in the philanthropy world as a place-based foundation. And that means that our focus is really on a place, and that place is Alaska. So there are very, very few exceptions when we will fund somebody outside of Alaska, and our mission is really on trying to figure out and working with Alaska communities and their nonprofits as to how we can improve the quality of life that all of us enjoy in our state.
Wow, great. And what are a few of the issues that you take on or your core passions or causes?
We might be best known potentially for funding our arts and culture work.
Mm-hmm.
We fund the Individual Artist Awards, where we provide funding for individual artists so that they can continue to make work that all of us enjoy. We fund a lot of cultural institutions. We fund a lot of public broadcasters because we realize the important role that you play in your communities in bringing news and information. We basically fund nonprofits. Our criteria are nonprofits that demonstrate community support, that have good board leadership, and that are well-run and well-managed and meeting a community need. So our support is pretty broad.
Oh, great. Now, there's a program in Alaska, I think it's just recent, the Pick, Click, Give. How were you involved? Was the foundation involved in starting that?
The foundation was involved with a number of partners. Our role really at this point has been to provide some of the startup funding to get Pick, Click, Give going and underway. So we helped so that the state would have no financial burden for implementing this program. Rasmussen Foundation funded things like the development of the website for the Department of Revenue so that they could make it available online. And we fund a lot of the marketing costs. In addition, we have several other partners like ConocoPhillips and BP, the Alaska Mental Health Trust, so we're certainly not the only funder, but we're very happy to be able to help launch this program. The goal of the program is to grow charitable giving in Alaska. Alaska is a state that, according to some surveys, we have very high rates of volunteerism, and sometimes our rate of charitable giving can be pretty low, and it seems to be lowest amongst those, interestingly, at higher income levels.
Really?
So Pick, Click, Give is a way for Alaskans to make contributions in $25 increments to the nonprofit of their choice.
Very cool. Now, how did these nonprofits get chosen? I know I was listening to a story, maybe it was on K2, about how some nonprofits have to go through a screening process now. Is that true?
The state legislature, when they approved Pick, Click, Give, put a number of criteria in place that nonprofits have to meet in order to be eligible for the program, and it's an online application process. So you have to show that a majority of your board is from Alaska, that you do have a history of raising funds from individuals, you know, basic criteria like that, that you're a nonprofit in good standing. And there's an application fee to file, and this year there were about 320 nonprofits around the state, and it looks like, I haven't counted them, but this list looks like about 30 nonprofits in Juneau alone.
Oh, wow. Huh. That's quite a bit. So that was the list, the numbers you were going to get for me.
These are the numbers. I pulled the numbers. We are very happy. As you know, the 2012 filing season for our permanent fund dividends is over, March 31. Hopefully everybody got their application in for their PFD check. And we were able to announce the pledges that were made to nonprofits statewide, which was $2.2 million.
Wow.
A really incredible number in just 4 short years that the program has been in existence. And I think even more exciting than the dollar amount, about 4.3% of all Alaskans who file online are participating in Pick, Click, Give, which makes this perhaps the most successful statewide fundraising campaign in the U.S.
Really?
There aren't too many things to compare it to because nobody else has a permanent fund.
That's true.
That's true. But the states who do things like GiveMin and Give to the Max Day in Seattle, there are some other types of programs like this, and they're not seeing participation rates nearly as high as we in Alaska are seeing. So that's, I think, something really to celebrate.
Yeah, that's great. And is there a 5-year, 10-year plan? What's next for the program, I guess?
you know, we have spent so much time focusing on how to get this started and how to build awareness and how to get nonprofits involved and help them be effective at promoting their participation in the program and thanking and acknowledging their donors. We are now beginning to cast our attention to what is the goal 5 to 10 years from now. And while we haven't really settled on a number yet, it's something that we're thinking about, and we're thinking about it in cooperation with the nonprofits themselves. So it'll be a big conversation on where we go from here.
Yeah, exactly. Now, 30 nonprofits are in Juneau with PicClick Give. What about, is there any numbers on the number of people that have donated from this region?
I can tell you that I can't tell you how many people have donated, but I can tell you how much was pledged.
Okay.
And it looks like about $140,000 was pledged to nonprofits just in the Juneau area. I just ran the Juneau zip codes. Aware is the number one nonprofit in your region as far as PicClick Give pledges go. And it looks like they're going to get almost $20,000, hopefully, if everything, you know, at the end when checks are cut. The Glory Hole, $17,000. Cancer Connection, $10,000. Catholic Social Service, $9,400. And these are what nonprofits call unrestricted dollars, which means that they don't come with grant requirements. You can only spend them on this or only spend them on that. By the fact that they're given by individual Alaskans and they're unrestricted means that the nonprofit gets to use them in the area where they see the greatest need. And we hear stories of things like, you know, bus passes or phone cards to call loved ones or things that are really hard to find other funding for but really provide great service to those who are in need of those services.
Yeah, I'm sure they very much appreciate that type of unrestricted giving. Cassandra, last question. I also asked Mike this, but working in Rasmussen and working on charitable giving, what are your thoughts on the importance of this for citizens and kind of some advice to those who are thinking, you know, to get started as a contributor to a certain cause in their community?
You know, I the way I think about it is that we as individual citizens can do a few things to really create the community that we want to live in. We can vote. We can volunteer, and we can make cash gifts to the nonprofits in our communities. Those are really great ways to have a significant and profound impact on the place where you live. And if you look at the services that the nonprofit sector provides, they enhance the quality of life that we live every day as Alaskans, whether they're providing health care, whether they are feeding people who are hungry, maybe they're presenting an art activity that you and your family enjoys, or they're creating trails that we can use, you know, and enjoy the great outdoors. Whatever it is that is your passion, you will find a nonprofit who is working on that area. And you can have a direct impact by making charitable gifts or by volunteering some of your time.
Great, great. Well, thank you very much. I know that's important for everybody, every organization, as well as what we're trying to do here at the radio station and getting people to give a little bit. So.
Well, are you interested in the pledges to K2? I can tell you what they are.
Oh, great. Is this, like, not even published in the press yet?
Actually, it is.
Oh, okay.
All of these numbers are public. It's very important to us that we make them public as soon as we know them. So if you want to look through the entire list, it's available at the website picclickgive.org. And if you click on the press release announcing the grand totals, all of these lists are attached to that press release. So these are absolutely public numbers. And it looks like $7,000 additional dollars will be coming directly to the radio station there to support the work that you do.
Woohoo!
I think there's
a bell here.
Yay!
Well, thanks, Cassandra. That's good news to end this show tonight. Really appreciate you calling in from Anchorage there. Cassandra Stelzer is Communications Manager for the Rasmussen Foundation. Thanks again.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. And if you're just tuning in or you weren't a part of the show tonight or you were, thanks again for listening to the Alaska Identity Project. We had quite a few exciting guests from Kirby Day to Bob James to Mike Walsh with the 4-Acre Group and Cassandra Stelzer from Rasmussen Foundation. If you have yet to give to K2, well, Pick, Click, Give just gave that $7,000. But if you're out there, any amount is appreciated. You can call 586-3636 or 1-800-478-3636 and give. There are people standing by to take your call. So thanks again, Alaska Identity Project. We'll be back next week here on KTOO News in Juneau.
biggest one isn't